I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Seen it on the throne.
you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. Thank you, Jesus. In love you came and gave amazing for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing blood. Now all I know is your forgiveness and your embrace. We say worthy, worthy is the name. Seated on the throne, seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. Oh God, you reign.
He's worthy and high and lifted up. Brother Logan and Sister Kristen Moss, could you bring your baby down here? And the grandparents that are here, could you come stand here as we dedicate this beautiful baby unto the Lord? Don't you just love babies? My wife would just hold one for a minute, and she wants another one. And I tell her, I say, Tori, we're about to be grandparents. This is a good-looking boy right here. What a precious family. They've come and they've become a part of this church. And Logan came last week, and he gave it all to the Lord last week. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. We know the word of the Lord, how Hannah, she just desired a child. It's one of the greatest gifts that can be given to a human, is to have their child that's been given by God. And you know, we're just stewards of the lives that God's given us. Steward of our own life and steward of the children that He's put in our life. They don't really belong to us. He's just let us borrow them for a while, a time. And then we're going to give an account for how we raise them, what we do with them, the example that we live in front of them. And today we're going to dedicate this precious child, Gibson, unto the Lord. I mean, this guy, he could be a missionary, preaches the gospel all over the world, or he could be somebody in a church that holds up the hands of a pastor. There's many, many different areas of ministry. He could raise a son that impacts thousands of people. Now, we believe the rapture is going to take place first. You think you'll let me hold him? Gibson? Can I hold you, buddy? Oh, man, this is a good-looking kid. I want us to stand. I want you to stretch your hands toward little Gibson today, and we're going to pray. We're dedicating him to the Lord. We're going to pray for protection, physical protection, throughout his life and his raising. We're going to pray that God would protect him mentally, spiritually, that he would put the right people in his life, and that he would be sensitive to the Holy Ghost at a very young age. Let's bind together. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you're a good God. We thank you, Lord, for Gibson today. Lord, you've given him as a gift to Logan and Kristen for a time. And Lord, they're going to dedicate him to you. They're giving him back to you for you to do whatever you want to do in his life. We pray, Lord, today that you would give him protection, give him strength. Lord, let no harm come nigh his physical body. In the name of Jesus, let the angels of the Lord encamp round around about Gibson throughout his life. Protect him. And Lord, I ask you that those influences would be godly influences in his life. Lord, the young men and young ladies that he's around, I pray that you would place him around Holy Ghost-filled believers. Lord, that he would also desire the things of God. Lord, I'm asking you to protect him mentally and spiritually. Lord, the hedge of protection around his life. I pray, Lord God, you deal with him, convict him, draw him to the bleeding side of Calvary. We thank you for what you're going to do in Gibson's life, oh God. And Lord, I place Gibson back into the arms of his mother. And I want you to stretch your hands toward this mom, this dad, and this grandmother. And we're going to pray for leadership of the Holy Ghost, that God would lead and guide them, that he would give them a special grace in these closing hours of the dispensation of grace. This is a wicked time that we live in. We need Holy Ghost empowerment. Stretch your hand toward this family. Father, we thank you for Kristen right now. I thank you for what you've done in her life, for the consecration. For this mother, we pray for a special strength and grace to raise this boy in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Be with her every day, every hour of the day, in the mornings, in the evenings. Lord, let her be a woman of God that stands on the word of God. For Logan, oh God, I pray that you would touch him with a mighty touch of heaven as a leader in this home. Give him spiritual leadership, a tenacity and a boldness to stand on the word of God that never fails. Be with this family. And for Sister Gibson right now, I'm asking you, oh God, for this grandmother, that you would touch with a mighty touch of heaven. Oh God, I thank you, Jesus, because you are good. Lord, I pray for Holy Ghost empowerment. Lord, that you would also use this grandmother in the things of God. Use her, Lord, to influence this grandson and to pray a wall of protection round about this family. We thank you for it, giving you all the praise, the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, oh, yes, loves me. Yes, Jesus, he loves me.
Greatest story that's ever been told. Jesus loves a sinner like me. Amen. You may be seated. This time we're going to dismiss all of our children from age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. I want to ask you to be in prayer for our School of Ministry. This is the last Sunday that they're going to be gone. They're currently in the state of California, and I think they've probably hit 10 churches altogether at the end of their tour at the end of this week. And I've already had some of the girls in the school ministry call me and ask me if they could fly back to Texas instead of drive. And I said, if you can get two or more on a plane, at least two, and it's approved through your parents, you can fly back. The boys haven't asked me yet, but we need some guys to rotate to drive that van back. So, you know, it's just the way it is. So I'm going to ask you to be in prayer for them for safety driving back to Texas. It's about a 24-hour straight drive. So they rotate driving the guys, and we have pretty strict rules on their driving. And I have Life 360, an app on our phone that kind of keeps connection with my daughter. And so I can see the speed that they're driving and everything. And I know right where they're at. I can pull up the restaurants they're at. You say, that's a little bit controlling. You better know it is. 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 1. And then I'm going to be reading one verse of scripture, Romans chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floor. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines in thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Amalek fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into the town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, bring him hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as the servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant, and the Lord said, and he will come. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men in the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, and he forbear to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. If you'll look at this 14 verses of scripture that I read, you'll find that over and over again, three different times, David inquired of the Lord. He asked him three specific questions, and God gave him the answer. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we feel in this service this morning. We thank you for the holy written word of God that truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost anointing that makes preaching effective. Anoint our ears that we can hear. Anoint these lips of clay as I can speak as an oracle of God. Let the word of God prick and penetrate. Let it change and transform us in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you on the necessity of being led by the Spirit. If there were ever a time in the history of the church world that you and I must be led by the Holy Ghost of the living God, it is now. We've never lived in a time quite like this. We would all agree with that statement. We understand, you know, it's never been like this. We don't have those elders to go before us, those of senior citizens that served God for years that have ever seen what we're going through right now. You say, well, what do we do, preacher? What are we going to say? How are we going to make it through? Where are we going to turn? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stand flat-footed on the word of the living God and be led by the Spirit of God in these last days. I'm telling you, God knows how to preserve His people. It is unprecedented times. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Yes, it is very wicked times. It is wicked, but it is the most exciting time that I have ever lived in and that you've ever lived in the history of this world. You know, I was thinking throughout the years, I've been saved for 25 years, I was thinking in 2,000 years since the cross of Calvary, 2,000 years have taken place since Jesus died on the cross. How much longer will it be until the rapture? I've questioned, I've wondered. I'm going to say this, the last 5 or 10 years, it has moved at warp speed. I believe that we are the terminal generation. I believe that this is the hour, this is the church age that is going to be raptured out of this place. And then in the last 1 year, I can say it is moving faster than it did for 5 straight years. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get excited. We need to start anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is coming back for a bride that is looking for His appearance. It was about the year of 2008 that my pastor, Pastor Red Taylor, back in the office right here where the women's prayer room is currently, he sat and looked across the desk from me and he shook his head and we were just talking and he went off and he just began to stir off in the space for a moment. And then he looked at me and he said, son, I feel so sorry for you. I said, why is that? And he said, because you have no idea what you're going to face in the future. You have no idea what the church is going to go through in the future. He said, I won't be here. I'm going to be up in heaven in the presence of God. I said, well, thanks a lot, Pastor. Thanks for the encouragement. Listen, it doesn't really matter what we go through. I know we're going to go through some things. You say, well, how are we going to make it through? We're going to be led. We're going to stand on the word of God and be led by the Holy Ghost. Listen, in the last 25 years that I've served God, I have learned something. I've learned a lot of things, but I've learned that no two victories are won in the same manner. Why is that? Because God doesn't allow that. Because if the victories are won the same way, you will just learn how to do it. You'll begin to have a pattern of doing things and we'll be no different than the business world out there. No, God's not going to let it happen the same way, the same manner, because He wants you and I to be led by the Spirit of God. He wants you and I to depend on Him. Do you hear what I'm saying today? I have learned every single day that I walk that I can't even walk without holding the hand of Jesus. I don't know how good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the human capability or the human ingenuity. I need to hear the voice of God. I need to feel the prompting of the Spirit of God. And whenever He leads you, He won't lead you in a path that's in the wrong direction. God will lead us and protect us. I don't care if He calls you into a foreign nation. That's the most dangerous nation in the world. If you're in the will of God, you're in the safest place that you can be in. But outside of the will of God is a dangerous place to be in. God wants to lead us this morning. I want you to think about in the mindset of no two victories won in the same manner. It was in the Battle of Jericho. The Israeli armies marched around the wall 7 times. They blew the trumpet on that last day, and the walls came tumbling down. But it was the next battle at Ai that Ai yielded to no such pressure. Why is that? Again, God wants to lead us in different ways, and He wants us to depend on Him daily for direction. He wants you and I, everyone in this church and everyone watching by Facebook, to depend on Him, to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, us classical Pentecostal people, we want to stay with the Word of God so much so that we've moved away from the Spirit-led living. I'm going to tell you, if you're a Holy Ghost believer, we stand on the Word of God. The Holy Ghost and the Word of God work in unity. This is still a supernatural God that can perform supernatural miracles. We're a people of the supernatural, and it's time to start living in an expectation. I wonder what God's going to do this Wednesday night. If you come in this place wondering what God's going to do on a Sunday morning, I wonder how many people is going to get saved this morning. I wonder who's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Who's going to get healed? Who's going to get delivered? If you come in this house, I'm telling you, you're going to see the supernatural. If we allow God to do what He wants to do, and we're led by the Spirit of God, we're going to see miracles in this hour. There are basically 3 different principles a Christian uses to make decisions in life. 3 different principles that we all should use to make decisions in life. Number one, the biblical moral way. Biblical moral decisions. What do I mean by that? Basically, if it's clear in the Word of God, that settles it. You don't have to pray about it. Wait just a minute, preacher. What do you mean we don't have to pray about things in the Word of God? I'll explain. Oh, just hold on just for a moment. What I mean is this. All of a sudden, a thought comes in your mind. Should I steal this from my employer? You don't have to pray about stealing from your employer. Well, I don't know about that. We're supposed to pray about everything. Let me tell you, it's a sin to pray for something that God's Word is already against. Listen, it's one of the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not steal. It's a sin. It's a sin against God. If it's in the Word of God and it's black and white, I'm going to say this. I may say it more than once today. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, will never lead you in a direction the Bible is against, or He'll never tell you to do something the Bible says not to do. Do you hear me? The Spirit and the Word work in unity. How do I know if it's the Holy Ghost? Test it by the Word of God. Have you been praying? Have you been seeking the Lord? I'm telling you, the Word and the Spirit work in unity. Well, God told me. Does it line up with the Word of God? I can tell you there's a lot of voices out there. The Holy Ghost, listen, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. But there's a devil out there who wants to speak into your ear, into your mind. There's also a carnal mind who wants to conjure up ideas that we want to call God's plan when God's a million miles away from it. Listen, but if it's in the Word of God and God's against it, you better not pray for it. Let me pray about leaving my husband. Wrong. Let me pray about leaving my wife. Wrong. God hates divorce. Well, doesn't God want me to be happy? The Bible never says anything about that. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not always going to be happy. I'm going to tell you this. I said it before. I've learned that all these years of being married, I can either be right or be happy. I'm the happiest man in this church today. Now, I act up every once in a while. We have a few moments of intense fellowship, but we get over it real fast. But listen, whenever God says that you're not to divorce, you ain't got to pray about it. Stay in the Word of God. Oh, don't you allow anybody to get in your ear and to convince you, and don't let that carnal mind and that flesh deceive you of doing something that you're not to do. We must stay with the Word of God. About 14 or 15 years ago, We had an evangelist come into this church. He was praying for a lady down at the altar. And she was telling him all the woes of her marriage. He's not in church. And listen, this man had not committed adultery on his wife. He was not physically abusing her, but they were just having problems. They were arguing all the time, and he wasn't in the house of God. And that evangelist whispered in her ear, God said, you can leave him. I about flipped out. I went to her when she came to me and told me, I said, that's a lie out of hell. No preacher, nobody has a right to tell you it's okay to do something that God is against. Do you hear what I'm saying today? I'm telling you, we got to get back to the Word of God. The Bible is right. Let every man be a liar, but let God's Word be truth. What about marrying somebody who's not saved, preacher? Oh, it got quiet on that one. Oh, it's so limited in the house of God. There's not as many young men and young ladies out there. Oh, is it okay to fall in love with somebody? You better guard your heart. You better not do anything God says not to do. 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Well, preacher, if he'll just marry me, I believe he's going to get saved one of these days. If I can just get her married, I believe I can love her enough that she'll come to Christ. I've heard that garbage for 25 years. You come to me after the service, and I can tell you the stories when I warn people or others warn those. Listen to me. None of us, including this preacher or any counselor, mom and dad, grandparent, has the right to tell anybody to do something or it's okay when the Bible is against it. Well, what about my situation? What about this situation? Ladies and gentlemen, we better stay with the Word of God. We will be judged by the Word in the last day. The Bible is right. Number two, another way we make decisions is sanctified reasoning. Now, the first way we make decisions is biblical and morally. The second way is sanctified reasoning. We use biblical principles. Biblical principles, not black and white issues. Biblical principles, I'm referring to the gray areas that are not clear in Scripture, and there is a lot of situations that are not clear in Scripture. The Bible does not tell me to be on time for work. But I use the principle of sowing and reaping. If I am constantly late for work, I'm not going to get a promotion. I'm going to get my boss mad at me. And before long, he's going to look for a reason to get rid of me. The law of sowing and reaping. Listen, the Bible doesn't tell me that when my wife is quiet and she's not talking to me and she's got that look on her face, it doesn't tell me exactly what to do. But I've learned the principles, biblical principles here. I've learned if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, and I better make that woman happy. What are you saying? There's problems. And the Bible does say I'm going to love that woman as Christ loved the church. Amen. So what do? I go and I fix. I become a healer. What is Christ? He's a type of a healer. And men, we need to heal our wives. They may be hurting, downcast. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what to do, but there are some principles that we are to go on. And this is the way it is. There's a sanctified reasoning in our lives. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how to handle everything. But there's a third principle what I'm going to be focusing on today. And that is the Spirit-led living. Spirit-led decisions. It's those important situations in which we don't have the right or wrong element. And no biblical passage directly applies to these certain situations. We don't know exactly what to do. It's those times that we come up to a situation, we find a fork in the road. Option 1, 2, 3, or 4. What do we do? How do we navigate through that major decision? Because every decision in life is like a domino effect for the next decision. It's like a ripple effect for the next decision. And I can tell you today, it will cost you, it will cost me to be out of the will of God. We oftentimes make decisions based on our own human reasoning. It's dangerous. I'm warning you this morning. Some of you are on the crossroad of decision today. You need to be careful. You need to pray through. You need to get out of that thing if it's not the will of God before it ends up having that ripple effect in your life. It's the fork in the road. Which way do I go whenever I find that fork in the road? There's so many options. Too many times people make decisions without passing a thought of seeking God. I believe in staying in prayer. I can tell you, if you are in the Word of God and you're in prayer, the Spirit of the Lord can speak to you. He can give you peace. He can direct you. I'm not saying you have to fall down on your face right in every situation, but you must be sensitive to the voice of God. There are times that we just like to make good decisions because we're intelligent, aren't we? I have a high IQ, don't I? I have experience. I know what to do and what not to do. No, I can tell you, I've made more blunders and more mistakes because I knew what to do. But I have learned, if I'll just wait on the Lord, if I'll listen for the still small voice of God, He'll never lead me in the path of unrighteousness. No, He protects, He keeps. God knows what He's doing, and God wants to lead us. Many people think as long as they don't lie, kill, or steal, or commit adultery, they're in the will of God. You better think again. No, no, no. As a child of God, He's not just my Savior, but He's my Lord. He's Lord over everything. That means He calls the shots. I don't call the shots anymore. Matt Gregory does not call the shots. I must be led by the Spirit. It doesn't matter if I'm changing jobs. You mean to tell me, preacher, that we're to pray about changing jobs? Absolutely. Absolutely. Your life is not your own. You say, well, it's more money. Is it going to pull you out of church? Is it going to pull you away from your family? Come on. I can tell you, it is not the will of God for you to seek money or monetary things over the things of God. Oh, listen, my Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. What does that mean? If you put God first and take care of His business, He will take care of yours. That's the kind of God that we serve. He is a miracle-working God, but I must put Him first. Well, I got to pay the rent. Go seek another job. I got to pay my bills. Listen, seek first the kingdom of God. Does it matter? Listen, you need to pray when it comes to dealing with problems at work. How to navigate through problems. What about choosing a school for your children? Absolutely. That's your personal business, but you better know that your personal decisions with your children and their future is going to change the eternal destiny of their life. What about moving to another state? Well, there's jobs out there that make more money in this other state. What about a church? This is a time we're living in that people are moving to East Texas, to Tyler. We've had several people move here to come to Harvest Time Church. Why is that? Because they're seeking first the kingdom of God. It's not the dollar, but I can tell you this, the people who have relocated because of the church, most of them making more money today because they put God first. And I can tell you this, God's blessing their families. And I can give you several names in situations. Pray and get the mind of God. What about marrying a certain believer? Now, everybody's different. Now, again, we don't marry young people, middle age, or older people. We don't marry anyone that's not saved, right? The Bible is very clear on that. So, doesn't it make it easy on you? You can narrow down the list. That's why some of these fast food In-N-Out burger, you know, they don't have a lot of options. You just go in there and get you a burger and fries. Get a double burger or a single burger. I mean, that's about all you get. It's not very hard when you go in there. I can tell you, whenever you start narrowing down the list, tall, dark, and handsome, hey, you'll settle for him standing on a chair and turn off the light. I can tell you, that's tall, dark, and handsome. But I can tell you this, you better pray about marrying because it will affect your life in the future. What about buying a home? Yes. You're to pray and get the leadership of the Holy Ghost in buying a home. What about joining a ministry in the church? I come to people and I'll say, will you pray about this? I mean that. Will you pray about it? You need to do something because there's a cost involved. Listen to me this morning, Harvest Time Church. God has a specific plan for you and for me. Therefore, we must seek His direction. One of the very best examples of the necessity of being led by the Spirit is found in our text. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, David here was facing a major crossroads at Keilah. In this passage, David, we know, is on the run from Saul. He had a hard enough time protecting his small band of men from Israeli soldiers. Think about it. He was an Israelite. Saul was coming against David. He wanted to kill him. The jealousy had eaten Saul up. And there were men that were standing with David. And David's not only warring against the enemy, the true enemy, which is the Philistines, but he's having to protect his band of men against Saul and that Israeli army. Then all of a sudden, David gets word that there is a particular town that's being threatened by the Philistine army. Should David do this? Should David go and protect this particular town? Or should he let Saul and the Israeli army protect this town? He didn't just make an assumption. You know, many times we just know to do the right thing oftentimes, and we don't choose our battles very carefully, do we? Every single battle that we see, we're soldiers of the Lord and we're fighting the good fight of faith, and we just jump in the battle. And that's why a lot of us get in trouble. That's why we're not as effective as we should be, because we haven't asked the Lord first. Let me tell you what David did. David saw the need. The Philistine army was coming against the city of Keilah. And what did he do? He didn't just make an assumption, I'm going to go fight the battle. No, he stopped and he inquired of the Lord. He began to pray and said, God, do you want me to do this? Oftentimes when we want something bad enough, we don't ask the Lord. We just do it and ask the Lord to bless it. David didn't do that, but he inquired of the Lord, shall I protect the city? And the Lord responded. I don't know if he spoke with an audible voice or if he spoke a still small voice in his mind or his spirit. I don't know exactly how God talked to David. But the Bible says in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 23, God said, go. So David and his men went. Notice how David did not make the assumption, because he was the anointed of God, it was okay. Just because you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, there are times that you're faced with situations that you are to respond, again, by being in prayer, in the Word of God, having the mind of God. You'll know that every step you take, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. But there are times that there are battles, there are circumstances that we enter into that we haven't prayed about. We get in trouble. We make a mess. David didn't do that. He waited on the Lord. David knew how important it was to be led by the Spirit in every situation. Please understand, not every opportunity for battle means that we are to engage in it. You're not to become a part of every Christian cause. You're not to financially give to every need that's presented before you. But we must be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We must hear His voice. Oh, listen, David knew that if God did not lead him into the situation, God's provision would not follow. Do you hear me? David had a choice. He could either go into the battle immediately and protect that city against the Philistines, or he could wait on the Lord. He knew, this is the key, David knew that if God led him there, that the blessings of God would follow. But if he didn't, there would be casualties of war and he would lose the battle. It's the same principle with you and I. When God leads you into something, whenever God is directing you and you hear his voice and you follow his instruction, the blessings of God will follow your life. But if you go on your own, You're on your own. Amen. I said, if you go on your own, you're going to fight the battle in your own strength. I've seen too many people say, God told me, I feel led. You know what it makes me want to do? Well, it makes me want to get a big block of lead. And every time somebody says, I feel led, I just want to give them the lead and say, why don't you feel this instead of doing what you're thinking? I feel led to go and to do this. Listen, you better know and hear the voice of God. A lot of times it's because of our own selfish desires, our own motive to be seen or known or to do. Listen, if we're not in the perfect will of God, the blessings of God will not follow. It's also illustrated, this blessings of God, by Israel in Exodus chapter 13. You remember the story? They were brought out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. And God led them by a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the visible manifestation of God? In the daytime, that cloud, it was low enough and it was obvious enough where whenever the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. At nighttime, it wasn't a cloud that was like in the daytime. It was a pillar of. Can you imagine that, church? Can you imagine seeing fire in the sky? And whenever it moves, you move with it. When it stops, you stop. That's what the Holy Ghost wants us to do as Spirit-filled believers. He wants us to hear His voice and obey. And it's worth noting that wherever that cloud was the provisions of God. The umbrella of God, the protection of God. Remember, wherever that cloud was, manna fell from that cloud. Food from heaven. Manna from heaven fell. But listen, manna's not going to fall whenever we're going our own direction or doing our own thing. Amen. Oh, so many people in the church world, they just like to do their own thing. I've been guilty. I have been guilty of going my own direction. And God's blessing and His provision and His protection was not there. But whenever I stopped and said, Lord, I'm going to ask You to forgive me for going my own way, doing my own thing. I want to hear Your voice. I want to do the will of God. That's whenever the manna began to fall again. That's when the blessings begin to fall again, when I'm in the will of God. The cloud won't follow you. You must follow it. I said the cloud won't follow you and your desires. You must follow it. Now the word of faith people will say, now, when you have the word of faith, you don't need to ask. Say amen or oh me. When you have the word of faith, you don't need to ask God. But let me tell you something. Jesus said something different. Jesus talked about the persistence of seeking, asking, knocking. Oh, come on. We must ask. And I'm going to tell you, when you continuously ask, God does hear and He stores up. I'm going to preach on that tonight. But listen to me. We must know that God's provision, His power, His miracles are under the cloud, the leading of the Spirit. For us to think that we tell God what to do and where to go. Now, we'll never confess it like that. We'll never say it like that. But our actions show we believe that. Well, I'm just going to do this. And we many people do things and make decisions and never really pray about it. It's spiritual arrogance. How easily we forget that we are not the center of the universe. God is. How easy we forget that we're not the center of the universe. God is. I say it again. I love America. I praise God for America. But we are, many of us, we have this mindset that we, my little life, our church, we're the center of the universe. No, God loves all humanity. God wants all men to come to repentance. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we get back to getting the mind and the heart of God, and God will give us the desire of our hearts. David knew if he didn't have an umbrella of God's supply, he would have no business tangling with the Philistines outside of Keilah. Even David came back the second time. If you read, as I read this text, he asked the Lord, should I go and defend the city? The Lord said, yes, go. Well, his men came back and they were disturbed. I don't know about this, David. Are you sure you heard from God? Well, David in this text goes back a second time and said, Lord, should we really do this? Have I really heard from you? And the answer was yes again. This incident reminds us that one of the first rules of spiritual guidance is to assume I could be wrong. I could be wrong. You could be wrong. Have you ever missed God? Don't raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you, has this preacher ever missed God? I have missed God, thought it was God. I had to go back to that altar. I had to listen again and hear. And sometimes I would just wait a little bit. Lord, is this really you? Is this me? Or is this the devil trying to get me off the path? Do you hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you today is he went back a second time and he assumed. He didn't have an arrogance. Oh, I know that I'm right. I ain't got to ask anybody, or I don't have to ask a second time. David assumed that he could be wrong because he knows his own humanity and the weakness of humanity. David humbled himself to the point where he came back a second time. Yes, they were to go and fight. They ended up fighting the Philistines and winning, all because David inquired of the Lord. This is a great necessity in being led by the Spirit of the Lord. But I close with this. There's still one more element in this chapter that I want you to see. Saul heard David was in the city, and there was an arrogance about Saul. After David and his men had defeated the Philistines, there was such an arrogance that he was so delusional, Saul was. He had already lost the anointing. David was going to be king. Saul thought that God had locked him in that city for Saul to take him. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you and I get outside of the will of God and we become delusional and we think that God is on our side, he may be on your, what you think's your enemy. He was delusional. He was wrong. And the Bible said that he went after David and his men in Keilah. Now listen to this. The word gets to David that Saul's coming. So David asked the Lord a third time. They'd already won the battle against the Philistines. The next question, will the people of Keilah protect me since I just saved their necks? Or will they turn me over to Saul? Now I'm going to stop right here and say this, that many of us, again, no two battles are won the same way. No two victories are the same way, because God wants us to constantly be inquisitive, constantly praying, constantly depending, constantly inquiring of the Lord. Many would feel, well, I just won this victory. I'm on a roll. Woo! Listen to what happened. Whenever he inquired of the Lord again and said, Lord, will the people of Keilah protect me, or will they turn me over to Saul? You know what God told David? He said, the people are going to turn you over to Saul. Why would God allow this? Listen, I don't understand all the whys of God, but I know this. If I will hear his voice, if I'll be sensitive, he can lead me in the paths of protection and safety. Did I say that when you're under the cloud and when you're following that cloud by day and that fire by night, that everything's going to be perfect and wonderful? Absolutely not. You're still going to have troubles and trials and adversity. But I can tell you this, in the troubles and trials and adversity, God's going to bring a provision like you've never known before. Listen, David got out of Dodge quick, and his men, and they were protected. Why? Because they were constantly praying and seeking, and they were humble. Why is it that David was a man after God's own heart? There are many reasons, but I believe one of the main reasons here is because David constantly asked the Lord. He was constantly being led by the Lord. Listen, I've been in services. The Holy Ghost would direct us to do something in the service, and I didn't understand all the whys and the wherefores and all that, but I can tell you, at the end of the service, somebody would come up to me and say, you have no idea. You have no idea what God just did because of this or because of that. Listen, God wants to use us. You may be somewhere doing something out in the highways, in the byways, whatever he speaks to you. Listen, if you're a praying child of God, if you're in the Word of God, whatever he speaks to you, just do it. Amen? Oh, I'm telling you, God wants to do something. What about the decisions you're facing right now? Are there folks on the road, that crossroad of decision, that call for you to turn one way or another? Can someone come to the piano? Are you there this morning where you're at the crossroad of decision where you don't know which way to go? There are some things. There are some principles. Some of you, during the first two categories, sanctified decision making and biblical moral decision making, that's answered some of your questions right there. It's up to you this morning to apply what you know to be right. There are certain things that you don't need to pray about. So stop playing games with God. God does not play games with us, ladies and gentlemen. If his word says it, it's settled. It's final. It is authority. But I can tell you, there are some of you this morning that are truly at the crossroad of decision. There's a fork in the road, and it's calling for a decision, and you don't know to turn one way or the other. Remember that many seemingly unimportant decisions have consequences far beyond what we could ever imagine. You just don't know. Pray. Wait. Get in the Word of God. Get counsel from godly people. Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If someone gives you counsel and it's a major, major, major issue in your life, ask them, say, can you show me that in the Word of God? If they can't show you directly in the Word of God, ask them to show you a principle in the Word of God. Listen to me. We're not going to get by with ignorance. Claiming ignorance in this last day. Well, God, I didn't know. My people perish, he says, for a lack of knowledge. He's not going to let us get by with playing dumb. Amen? I said, God's not going to let us get by with playing dumb. Well, it's the way I felt. Feelings can deceive you. Feelings are very deceptive. Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean God's leading you in that direction. Test it by the Word of God. Why is it that before you make a decision with a spouse, you need to really seek the Lord and pray? Absolutely, we know that. But I tell young people all the time, guard your heart. Don't even open your heart up to them if all those boxes, or at least the main boxes, aren't checked. Saved? Check. Spirit-filled or seeking the baptism? Check. For the ladies, I tell this about the guys. Job? Check. Humble? Check. He said, woman can cook. That may be one. Now, those are minor things. Minor things. It's not the main things, because they can learn how to cook. But there are certain things that you need to really check those boxes. Amen? Make sure that you know the will of God, because you're not going to get by with playing dumb. It'll cost you to be out of the will of God. It costs too much to be out of the will of God. I'm going to say this one more time. Can we stand? You and I are limited in our knowledge and understanding. We're limited, every one of us. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 says this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. We have a limited understanding and knowledge of the will of God outside of the biblical black and white pages, number one, are the principles of the Word of God. So many other things are limited in our knowledge. We must be led by the Spirit of God. But I want to talk to you before we get in these altars. Moms, dads, grandparents, brothers, sisters, friends, acquaintances, be careful the counsel you give to somebody. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, and if you're not an advocate for what God says in His Word, you're going to be judged. Because we're influential, aren't we? People will do exactly what we say. People look up to us. People that are around our lives, they will follow us. And if we don't line ourselves up with that Word of God, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to answer. Well, it's worked like this with this people and with this situation, with that situation. I don't see why it couldn't work for them. That's none of your business. That's not your call. That's not my call as a preacher to make that call. There are people that come to me all the time. I am humbled. I have ministers of the gospel call me all the time and bounce things off of me. And I tell them, I said, listen, I can give you principles, but doesn't mean just because we do it here, you can do it there. You've got to get the mind of God for yourself. I tell people who come to me when it comes to major life decisions, here's what I say. Let's go to the Word of God. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to tell you what I feel, because what I feel don't amount to anything. What really matters is what God's Word says, because I'm going to be judged on what I tell this man to do with his family. I'm going to be judged. Why? Because I'm a person of influence in this man's life right here. Doesn't mean he's going to listen to everything that I say, but he could. Let's get back to the book, church. Let's get back to being sensitive. Let's get back to the altar where we can hear His voice again, where the prompting of the Spirit of God. He says, that young lady right there, she's going through something. If you've been in the prayer closet, if you've been in the Word of God, you can be eating in a restaurant and the Holy Ghost can deal with you about that lady that's going through a traumatic time. And the Spirit of God says, Brother Brian, just tell her that I love her. And if you followed that cloud and spoke to that young lady, the tears could come down. She might have been praying, Lord, if you really loved me, maybe she was going to kill herself. But she said, Lord, could you just show me you love me? And then He speaks to her. Tears came down her cheeks and she gives her life to the Lord. We as a church body have got to get back to Spirit-led living. We've got to hear His voice. Be sensitive. Follow the cloud. Under the cloud are the provisions of God. Do you want to see revival in 2021? Do you want to see people come down in wheelchairs and be healed by the power of God and dance all over this front end? Well, do you want to see that? Do you want to see young people like Caleb Green that has a smile on his face before he ever comes in the church because the Holy Ghost has been dealing with him? I mean, last week, him and his friend, they couldn't get to this altar fast enough because somebody's planted the seed. Somebody's watered the seed. Somebody's been praying. Somebody was led by the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, it's time to get back to Spirit-led living. The necessity of being led by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you what it is. It is life and death in this last hour. We must be led by the Holy Ghost. We must stay and cling to biblical truth in all areas. Oh God, help this congregation. Help this preacher this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I have preached what You've given me to preach. Lord, I know You're dealing with hearts today. Oh God, many, Lord, have gotten their answer on what to do, what's right or wrong. It all comes down to will they heed Your voice and do what You've spoken for them to do. Many are at a crossroads. They don't know what to do. There's a crossroad of decision standing before them. There's many paths. And Lord, they just want to be in the will of God. I'm asking You to speak. Teach us to hear Your voice and to follow. Jesus, you said you are the good shepherd. And my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. I want to hear your voice, Holy Ghost. Speak to me with clarity. Speak to me, oh God. Lead me, guide me. I want to be so reliant upon you, so dependent upon you, that I can do nothing without the help of the Holy Ghost of God, that I cannot walk without you, oh God. I'm asking you to help me move into that in a greater facet in this last hour. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you're a backslider, I want you to lift your hand. You're away from God. You're not saved. You're away from God. You're heading to hell right now. I want you to lift your hand high. I'm going to pray with you today. God's in this house. He wants to save you by the blood of Jesus. If that's you, you're a sinner, you're lost, you're away from God, lift your hand high in this house. Praise the Lord. No sinners in this house. Everybody's ready for heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us all to come and stand around these altars. Up against the wall, there's a lot of folks here this morning. If you can, I want you to come. Here's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to lift our hands to heaven, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us in this last hour to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost when He speaks to lead us. I want to hear His voice. Please come in as close as you can to the front. I want to hear His voice. I want to do the will of God. Don't you want to be sensitive to His voice? Don't you want to hear, trust, and obey? I do. There's others today. You're struggling because the pressure's put on you right now. You're going to have to make a choice. Now, it's off of this preacher, and it's on you. Ezekiel warns about the watchman whenever he sees the enemy coming. If he doesn't warn the people, then the blood of those people will be required upon the watchman's hands. This is what the Holy Ghost has spoke to me today. And there are hundreds of different situations. Some of you are thinking about something opposite of someone else. Hundreds of different situations in this house this morning. It's off of me and it's on you. The requirement is on you. If it's in the Word of God, if you know it's black and white in the Word of God, stop trying to justify anything that you're doing. You'll come under the judgment of God. God's merciful, ladies and gentlemen. God is so merciful. God is so kind. He's so good. God is so merciful. If you will repent, He will forgive you. But if you stick your heels in the ground and say no, you're going to bust hell wide open. And you're going to cry out of hell for trillions and trillions and trillions of years. You're going to trample over the love of God because you did what you wanted to do. You went against the Word of God. If that's you, only you know. Only you know today. Hear His voice. Hear His voice. Heavenly Father, I thank You. Can we lift our hands all over this building today? Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Help us. Speak to us. Help us, Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to be led by the Spirit of God.
Oh, and You've got to wait.
I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord.
Wait on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wait on
Talk to us, Lord. Talk to us, Holy Ghost.
And He'll renew your strength.
Make your decision today what you're going to do. If you think that I'm talking specifically to you, then the Holy Ghost is definitely talking to you. If you think, man, how did he know? Is he dealing with me right now? Then I can tell you the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. Respond. Respond today. Respond today. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Not a problem.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Too tall.
Holy Ghost.
There's not a mountain so small that Jesus can't resolve. In time, he'll get involved.
Let's move over to someone and lay hands on someone and pray.
He cares about.
Pray.